This is the beginning of book Little R, starting December 13th, 1977, and going through February of 1978. It begins with a map of PBR 322 appended, and a growth of PBR 322. And inserting a DT tail and then a DA tail eventually, and a DA tail to try to get our ability to clone a DA on DT tailed cDNAs. There is a very informative blot there showing the actual results of these hybridizations to different replicas. It's quite nicely preserved. It's an Anne Bleckel page, I think, and the radioactive and the film can be aligned very nicely with the plaques to show how the system worked. No doubt when we scan the book that we have a copy of that. I will try to check. In the scanning there is an autoradiograph with a row of heavy spots on the right hand margin which matches a preceding image. Go back in here. The preceding image being on the right hand side, if one can, I can't see the page number, but it's probably defined. It's this one, Jenny. Do we know what that is? Is there a name for it? No. It's there. One can, with a little ingenuity, one of the scans has a whole bunch of circles across the top and along the right-hand margin, which are different plaques. And on the left, the left-hand side, there is a scan of a page that has some yellow markings on them. That's the one. That is the one that is can be matched. That left-hand image can be matched to the radiograph. On the right-hand side of the next page. So the right-hand side of the next page in the scan can be matched to the left-hand side of the image to superimpose and see the page. It's easy to see with the natural objects which are inserted into the book anyway at this place. So anybody interested would be able to see how it works. It's very quite spectacular. Very heavy signals, which were markers, which turned out later on to be actually a problem sometimes, that we used a marker which contained a which probably cross-contaminated things, as we might see later on. So continuing, then PBR 322 is being worked with single and double cuts on Tuesday, December 13th, with a couple of gels there, and Hindi 3 digests and so on, learning my way around PBR 322. Terminal transferase on PBR 322 and etc. to the nucleus, etc., etc., technical methods of getting some label with the conclusion that the lambda XO degraded too much, go to PST digestion and tail directly. So, the next one, the next page is a PST scheme, and with the conclusion that it worked fine. Terminal transferase then on a page that's been flagged, PST on page 9 and terminal transferase on page 11. These being the critical steps in getting bacteriophages, getting plasmids, PBL322 to work. For example, on page 10, the conclusion is that the DT tails went on very well, estimate about 250 per end, assuming mobility equivalent to double-stranded DNA. The DCs were not so good, so remake the DCTP and try again. And Bleckel had some successes, as reported on Friday, December 16th, in the cDNA department. Reports of recent success in Alan Kinneberg's hands in Jeff Ross's lab. So Anne Bleckel is reporting success in Jeff Ross's lab. Jeff Ross was always a happy collaborator and helper for me. He worked in McArdle Institute and was a good friend, worked with a lot of work with cDNA and hemoglobin. And this is one of his protocols listed there. Some problem evidently on page 14 with a big comment nuts exclamation mark, adding a fifth of the volume of 2 molar sodium hydroxide overnight to denature. But why it's nuts is not indicated. Because on the next page it says the conclusion are good T tails, the A tails much less. But virtually no annealed product. This is HF Harvey Faber 1313 DNA, etc. Going on with these, trying to calculate specific activities on page 18. And trying to determine how many radioactive ends had been added to the reaction to a reaction that was analyzed on page 19. Thinking there was some confusion about which shotgun was being used, evidently because the 100 ink is a positive human shotgun, Black's phages on page 21 and also on page 23, crossed out, and if it says later rat, so evidently there's a confusion about which one was working. Devoted to trying to get the radioactive probes to hybridize to bacteriophage plaques containing fragments of human or mouse or rat DNA. A nice handwritten note from Anne Bleckel on page 26. Talking about the Anne Bleckel filters, they're on the third floor in pre-wash since Monday night at 70 degrees, etc. There are four bags, and she goes on for a whole two-sided note about this. Each piece is coded, so you needn't worry about mixing if you keep the probes separate. So this is Anne Bleckel. A test of the globin clone on on Wednesday, December 28th, a globin called SPD8. It might just be okay.
Good morning.
With the diagram suggesting what the insert might look like. Going on with these technical problems. Page 36, HINF seems to work okay. Can't be sure of R1, though it probably did work since it is a tough enzyme. Very doubtful if the insert could be seen. Think again on this one. Going on with this SPD8 globin clone. And with a conclusion on page 38, the clone has a BAM site. It could be the left end. So working with this one particular clone. On page 41 and 43. Conference with Fred about it on page 43. Conclusions on the following page. No Hindi 3 cut in the insert, no BAL cut in the insert. Can't see KPN HEPA piece for sure, although it ought to be visible. So, not looking very good. So, a new clone test. These are called R47, and there's another writing. Uh, They're looking for the DNA in these lysates. And here's the time when it became clear that what we thought was human was really rat, because on page 49, Friday, December 30th, the commenter said, "A check of the data shows that SPD-8 is HG rat shotgun." But some new human shotguns, SPO, are positive anyway. So it didn't matter. With some thought that these clone lysates are giving such excellent DNA, try making bulk DNA for sequencing. And then new clones to test on Saturday, December 31st. And at the end of the year, here we are on Sunday, January 1st, with a comment at the top of the page, "End of a good year, one of the best," with two exclamation marks. It had indeed been a very productive year, with the flying and the and learning bacteriophage and getting colonies. With on page 50 opposite the Sunday, January 1st entry, the conclusion that MP9, 23, A, C, and D are clear clones. MP2, 20, A looks to have a trace of a clone, can't see anything in MP7, etc. I'm going on with this general type of work. Retests of potential clones and a beautiful gel on page 52 with the comment "transferred and cut into four." and how the transfer was done, before and after transfer. However, beginning to worry about a contaminant, I mentioned the possibility of a contaminant. On Sunday, January 1st, on the way home to supper, I had the thought that SPH23 and SPD8 are probably share on 3A HB4 contaminants. That was because of the what turned out to be a silly use of a share on DNA containing hemoglobin insert as a marker, with the result that you could get phages which were really replicas of the marker. So on page 56, the conclusion is that, subject to an internal check, SPH23 is 3A HB4. It has no R1 site. In other words, we contaminated our system with a positive clone of cDNA. I'm continuing this worry with a recheck of SPD8 and SPH23 on Monday, January 2nd. None of these clones have an R1 site, and therefore they all are equivalent to HB4. In other words, we again were isolating a contaminant. I remember that we were somewhat to say the least, disappointed, and realized that we had to be very careful about this in future work, that if one was isolating the same thing over and over again because it was contaminated. And it turned out when doing the work, the Nobel Prize winning work on gene targeting, that was again a worry that there might be contamination with a positive test clone that was being recovered in the real experiment. We'll come to that in due course. So new and better clones of SPD24 Tuesday, January 3rd. But the first successful first tests were no clones in these. Hybridization. Worry about the probe. This probe may be no good. So here is the hypothesis for the false positives on page 65, Wednesday, January 4th. OS hypothesis for the false positives. The slave plate pickups are loaded with HB4. Some washes off and rehybridizes to Sharon 3A Delta Lactplex, and these then give a positive signal with the hemoglobin probe. And there's comments on how to test this idea. So, retesting human clones, of which there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 6, 7, 8, 9, about a dozen clones being tested. These old lysates are now very poor, but number 32 for sure has something large in it, and number 42 has a small clone, etc., etc. And retesting these. Fresh lysates on Friday, January 6th, and same, more or less the same, but 32 has a large clone, 42 has a small, etc. A nice dot blot example, photograph rather well. On page 70. This is the rat growth hormone test. And for rat MP2SVE20A OS rat is a potential rat growth hormone clone. Though I don't remember that we ever followed that up very well. But the hybridization overlay is nicely illustrated on page 70 with Polaroid photographs of the film over the replica black array. So Saturday, January 7th, deciding to screen all of the picked areas from human shotgun experiment. And a new array for the test was made. Okay. Pepper One Digest on Sunday, January 8th, page 77. And these were 16 different samples, different clones, 16 in all. MP1-1 through MP1-16. And MP7, 1 through 16, and MP1 again, now clones 17 through 32, or lysates. On page 79. So, on Thursday, January 12th, page 81, the individual probe hybridization of about 79 test arrays of 79 test arrays. So probe one is globin cDNA, and probe two is for rat growth hormone. Probe three is R1, and probe four is HCS. Continuing on with Anne's clones from the R69 series, review of the results on Saturday, January 14. Provisional positives being listed on page 84. So, continuing Saturday, January 14th, the new hemoglobin probe test on all available DNAs. So the arrays were set up in 6 copies of R49 and R83 phages in different rows. In array 87-1 samples, and another in the reverse order, etc., etc. Just details about how the arrays were made. With the radioactive film, autoradiograph on page 88, and the superposition of the film with the array diagram with a Polaroid image there showing which were positive, which I can see three, four or five positive, strongly positive clones. The results after 6 days are the same. Only R23, 1, 2, and 3, and R47, 3, 4, and 6 are clearly positive. After 6 days exposure. And continuing with different experiments of the same general type. Rat growth hormone tests on beta 95, tests of the plasmid probe on page 97, and another array test on page 99, a plasmid lambda clone test. Some with this is looking for it looks like looking for a plasmid with inserts, ones with lambda clones and with mini col E1 DNA and PFBN3 different phages, different plasmids. Check of mini-col E1 and PFBN3 plasmids on page 103. Returning to the hemoglobin 4 contamination on page 107, the second film of SPD8 and SPH23 shows that one was a deliberate positive control, marked but forgotten, exclamation mark, and the other was an accidental pickup of an alignment mark, sad errors. So that it was a good lesson. Total number of plaques on the human MP1 and MP7 is about 400,000. Total on the rat about 1,200,000. And on the rat not yet finished, the number is about 400,000. Here's a comment of Natalie. That's Natalie Borenstein. She was a long time tech and a great friend of our long-term secretary, Francis Mann. Making good DNA. R113, Datalac DNA, 14 milligrams. He made from that bulk lysate. tests of minis from the macro experiment, showing that the method scales up perfectly, etc. So how to make larger amounts of material from starting plaques. Nick translating plasmids on January 31st, page 117. And here we are, immunoglobulin, gamma 2B, check. Jerry Slightham has prepared Ken Marcus PMB9 immunoglobulin plasmid. This seems to be one of the first mentions of Jerry Slightham, but he was a very productive postdoc that stayed with us for quite some time. The conclusion from this experiment on page 119 on page 118 is that PMB9 has an R1 site and a BAM site, and PH7 as expected lost the R1 site but now has two BAM sites. Things were looking reasonably well understood. Continuing on page 121, check on the BAM site and the R1 distances on PMB9. The conclusion is that the BAM H1 site is very close to R1, since the PY is almost unmeasurable, whatever that means. Check on Thursday, February 2nd, of KM's DA and DT tailed PMB9, and the conclusion that the tailed stuff is good. Continuing with the same type of work. Repeat of the hepatitis of R113 delta-like DNA, difficult to understand the results, etc. Cesium chloride banding again on February 3rd to try to purify the DNA. Second banding DNA from this February 3rd experiment recovered about 2 milligrams total DNA from delta-like DNA from page 113. The second banding check on the following day. Some question about it being necessary to do the second. and trying to get away from having to do the banding on page 141 and 140, the conclusion that differential precipitation works fine. Try it also instead of first banding. In other words, try to avoid having to do the banding in the outer centrifuge with cesium chloride. A full-scale precipitation and test without banding the following day. The conclusion of the result on about page 144, that both cesium chloride banding and precipitation are needed. Cesium chloride for slower impurities and precipitation for the faster impurities. And on page 147, I obviously went to Australia. Now, I remember when I was in Australia, renting an airplane and flying around a little bit in Australia. Had to get a pass the test for the written test, which first time I tried I was 1 point short, and somewhat illegally the examiner said, why don't you take it again tomorrow, you'll probably get pass, which I did, and so I flew a little while I was in Australia. Now I'm beginning to think about dideoxy sequencing on Monday, March 20th. Instead of the this is the Sanger method, instead of the maximum Gilbert method of sequencing, checking it out with clone with BAM KPM 1 digest. On a gamma 2 MPC 11 PHSEP plasmid, which we call gamma 2 B paralysis 11 in the future, which had a 1100 base pair BAM KPM insert into the plasmid, which looks like. Maybe not PBR-322, it looks a bit big, but in a plasmid. And with the conclusion that KPM didn't work, repeat using KPN and then changing the buffer. KPM BAM digests again on the following page, and with the conclusion that the KPN was working, but the yield of the 700 base pair piece is lower than expected. And that ends this book, page 151, March 21st.